as we eagerly await NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4. We're taking a look at the go-home show right now on the AfterBuzz TV After Show for NXT, so don't you go anywhere.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Internet, we love you. We're big fans of you, and we hope that you can tolerate us. Welcome in to the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark Bidonica, rocking my Xbox One 360 gear, which you should be subscribed to right here. A little bit of a somber episode this week, but we did talk about the life and times of Mr. Jim Neidhart. And a lot of my favorite stuff, Sean mentioned, like, I can't tell that story. I can't tell that story either. And that's the kind of stuff that you want to hear. So yeah. Make sure to check that out. Joining me, as always, the one and only Mr. Robert Baines. He's the hobo.
Thank you. Yes, here once again. My second time this week. I was on Raw. Now I'm on NXT, rocking my New Japan Strong Style gear because, well, that's perhaps my favorite company I've ever worked for.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's saying a lot.
I mean, they're nipping at WWE's heels. You can't say that they're not. They're challenging them on their home turf and their home market. So, hey, make it no secret about which team I'm on, I guess.
Man, I guess you could technically say that they should stop resisting.
They should.
But let's get going. Bill Hancock's out this week on assignment. I eagerly await being able to watch and talk about NXT TakeOver with him. Let's start off, oh boy, with some of that sweet tag team action. What?
You're doing a solid montage right now for those who are audio listening. Well, you got the shoulders. I mean, he's a whole body kind of wrestler. You got the shoulders going on, and I think that's enough at least for an after show. Mm-hmm. You can't expect a full Montez Ford performance by the people just covering it. You got to go to the source.
So our next shirt is the full Montez?
The full Montez. Got it. That's really pretty good.
Damn it. All right. this was fun for the reason mainly that the Street Profits were in it.
Yep.
Just because they're the Street Profits. I've missed seeing them on NXT TV. But with this, I can't get behind the Mighty, like, and any of it. It feels like they've taken a little bit of a step back. They're not fighting for honor anymore. They keep calling themselves the Mighty, but I don't see it.
Yeah,
they're underhanded dogs. What do you think of this match?
I liked it. I mean, I always liked the Mighty's performance. They hit hard. They really genuinely always swing for the fences. Whenever they connect with a strike, it's always the sound of meat on meat, flesh on flesh.
Meat on me.
I enjoy it. The Street Profits are a solid tag team. Mm-hmm. They're really starting to come into their own. I think Montez Ford is starting to really show a bit more of what he can do. Every time he gives a little bit more of a look about what he's able to accomplish in that ring. And I think Angelo Dawkins is lucky to have him as a partner. Mm-hmm. Dawkins has been trying for a long time to find his niche on the WWE NXT roster, WWE NXT TV. And he finally seems to have found it with Montez Ford. They're a win-some, lose-some tag team, but they are always entertaining. They always get the crowd behind them. They're one of the few tag teams to actually jump into the audience, few performers to jump into the audience and actually engage with their audience. And as a result, they are able to foster a real and genuine relationship between them and their audience. The audience, in turn, gives them all the energy that they need to defeat their foes. And tonight, they did just that, defeating the Mighty at their own game. Reverse O'Connor roll with the tights. Montez Ford on, I believe it was Nick Miller. And
I believe so. Let me double check.
And it was the Mighty being beaten at their own game. But even still, like you said, are they truly the Mighty if they need to cheat?
Yeah.
How mighty are you if you have
Thorn.
Constant...
I'm sorry. It was Thorn.
It wasn't Thorn? Okay.
It was Thorn.
How mighty are you if you constantly need to cheat to get the W?
Yeah.
You are not the Mighty.
But now it's another thing of the Street Profits beating the Mighty at their own game.
Yes.
All right, yeah, you want to try to pull that mess. We're going to pull that mess, too. Now do better. Be
twice
better.
In a row, essentially. Yeah. The Mighty lost against Heavy Machinery because of the Street Profits interfering, but not directly. And then tonight, Street Profits beating the Mighty at their own game. A cheap, cheeky tactic paid off big. And now I'm not sure where this is going to go.
Me either. We kind of know where the tag team division is going because we've got the War Raiders waiting in the wings for whoever wins the title match on Saturday.
True.
But we don't necessarily have a tag match announced for Brooklyn.
Right.
If we saw these two go again in Brooklyn for next week's NXT show, what do we do? You know, we've gotten some tricky play. Now is it going to be like Duchess of Queensbury rules? What are we gonna do?
I'd have to imagine
they're duchesses in Australia, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I got a medal from there and everything.
Hmm.
It's a weird thing. I think the Mighty are kind of cornered in that their comeback has kind of fallen flat, and now they're losing. And I don't know what to expect. I don't know where this could possibly go, because the War Raiders would easily beat the Street Profits, I believe, at this current time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mighty don't even have the right to challenge for number one contendership. So they've lost now twice in a row. Yeah. I don't know.
Even so, I don't know if you can put a stake in wins alone for the number one contendership. Like, when it came to William Regal, he denotes like rough play. Like, it was different in the case of Shayna Baszler, where she would beat people into submission and get the victory and then hurt them.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to cheating to win to get your only victories. It's a little different, I think. And I don't think, especially now, I don't think the Mighty have any sort of a claim on getting close to an NXT Tag Team Championship opportunity, unless we got a multi-team match in New York.
Which is possible.
Mm-hmm.
We've only had one match announced for the pre-show. So,
yeah, we did.
And that's such a hell of a contest.
And so that could go the whole time,
yeah,
if they really wanted it, yeah, to. But yeah, I was really, really excited. Really excited for... To see the Street Profits back. Our boys, they're back in town. And they get to celebrate in the crowd again. It's nice to see. What did you think of seeing Shayna in the back giving Aaliyah tips? Do you think that was... What do you think was the impetus behind that?
Honestly, it's really easy. She wanted Aaliyah not to necessarily win, but to at least soften up Kyrie, mm-hmm, so that she had an easier time come Sunday in Brooklyn. Or Saturday, rather, in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's not a tough thing to figure out.
Hey, if you beat her up tonight, you'll be next for a championship opportunity.
Bullying? And it wasn't bullying. I think it was genuinely like, she's the number one contender. If you beat the number one contender, do you know what that makes you? Like the next number one contender. Yeah, that's how that works. So honestly, I think Aaliyah was in the position to do nothing but learn from Shayna Baszler, mm-hmm, in that moment. And Shayna was, it was her prerogative to give her information, her being Aaliyah, to soften up Kyrie for Saturday. Because I think Shayna fears Kyrie.
Well, she's already got the L from her.
Yeah.
That's one of the few people that she's lost to, right, in her WWE career.
And I think that weighs on her. I think
she
definitely remembers that. And she has been doing her best to stay as far away from Kyrie Sane as possible. But that is over.
Mm-hmm.
That is over come Saturday. They have to meet in that ring. And Shayna can run, but I think Kyrie is going to be there every step of the way to sort of put her back. The champion's prerogative is on Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
She has all of the benefits of being champion. And part of me believes that she's definitely going to use them if it comes to that. If she can't beat Kyrie as easily as she wants, she's got to pull an Asuka and cheat.
Yeah, I think we'll talk a little bit more near the end of the show and what we're looking at for NXT TakeOver and what our official predictions are. Don't hit it. I wanted to talk about Undisputed Era just being b-holes. Like, what these, like, I don't know if we've mentioned it on the show, but the Letterman jackets,
yeah.
God, do those fit. Those haven't fit for, like, did somebody raid Alex Riley's wardrobe? Because that was a great,
White Lion line.
I loved the varsity villain, because he was just the right type of D-bag for it.
Yeah.
And these guys, and seeing Roddy come out to the ring with it at the end of the night, I was just like, who are these people? The people that don't let the high school stuff go.
I mean, they really think they're God's gift to NXT.
Yeah.
I would say that they look amazing. They're in really athletic shape. But it's just, I don't know. They're so hard to actually get behind and like. man, they're terrible. Just terrible.
I totally agree. Before we talk about our next match, we just want to let you know a quick message. After Buzzers, our network, produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will help suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't you worry, they are optional. Now, they will help you, because then they'll know anytime that we go live, and et cetera, et cetera. But they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we will thank you on air. But for now, thanks for being the best fans, and for helping us to be the ESPN of TV talk. Now, I took a look at the comments from last week's episode.
And?
Well, it was, I mean, it was essentially, we asked the question of why they were calling her Tenera Conchi.
Oh.
Because that's the proper Portuguese way to that's her name. But when we see it, we're like, oh, white people, Conti, it's Conti. So we got a couple of people just going like, yeah, that's how you pronounce the name. And we really appreciate that. Skilled Buick.
I mean, how does Mauro Ranallo say it?
He said Conchi.
Okay.
Yeah, he said
then
it.
Then it's officially Conchi.
It's officially.
If you can say it with that much gusto, that's what it is. Even if it's Conti said with gusto, then it's Conti. But Conchi, all right.
The fact that you're saying gusto, for some reason, put it in my head that I want to see Mauro Ranallo revoice Remy the Rat in Ratatouille.
Anyone can cook.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
And thank you also to Los Ingobernables de Brazil. Didn't know they had a Brazilian chapter. Who also comments about the pronunciation of Adrian Jaoud, because the vowels are spoken differently. They're because of the Portuguese alphabet.
Jaoud.
But also Adrian.
Adrian?
Adrian is not how it is pronounced in Portuguese.
How is it pronounced?
Didn't say. Anyway, if you could leave in the comment down below, that'd be great. There's a lot of Undisputed Era. Hello, McFly?
Yeah.
Very good.
But they don't have the size to pull off that bully thing.
They're like Billy Zane size.
No.
Okay. Bobby Fish is Billy Zane. Kyle O'Reilly is 3D, the guy who always wore the 3D glasses. Then the number two is Roddy, and Biff is Adam Cole, Bebe.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all very lean, and
they're
and,
incredibly lean.
Yeah, they're not as beefy like as Biff.
I'm used to American beef bullies. You know, that's size being the defining factor of a bully.
So,
using size to their advantage, they're so skilled that I don't know if being a skilled bully is a thing.
Well, I'm excited about, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later. I'm excited about. I'm excited about Adam Cole versus the Marty McHigh Flyer Ricochet.
Yeah, I got it.
No. But I really hope that it gets to the point where Adam Cole just says, I hate manure. For whatever reason. Now I want to redo, I want to see what Ricochet's theme sounds like, if it's the Back to the Future theme. Or if it's Back in Time by Huey Lewis and the News. Hey, let's move on. Let's talk about Our second contest of the evening, which was Kairi Sane versus Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Holy, Kairi Sane, like, she brings it. There's no denial that she usually brings it, but she was savage in this match.
I remember watching this live and with everybody backstage.
Oh, you were there too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's like, God. Oh. She's gonna cave her chest in.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, it was horrible. But it was sort of, I don't know, compelling. It was, this is what happens. is what happens.
Don't you F with the Pirate Princess, son. Yeah.
And the anchor. What is it called?
The anchor. Yeah. Well, damn. No, before that, the stump puller. Like, you don't see that too often, and just to be like, I'm going to take your legs out from under you.
It was so seamlessly done, too. I mean, she just was able to snatch it in very fast order.
But no, the anchor, I like it. It kind of reminds me of the Scorpion Deathlock, which I've never liked. But I think the arch and how she puts the pressure against the ankles is a lot more painful than Sting's just sort of lackadaisical, I got these two legs. Because that's what Sting sounds like.
I got these two legs.
Hey, kid, give me your legs.
I was at the dojo recently playing with some holds. And one of them was very similar to the anchor, even before I had ever seen it. And it's using your body weight to contort the weight of the other person.
Yeah, yeah.
Just simply your weight alone. And the arch of the back, it's very painful for the ankles, but it's the arch of the back.
It's the whole stretch.
Ultimately, that's the most painful.
No, and the point of contact being the ankles is dangerous because there's not a lot of muscle down there.
Right, right. It's all tendon. I mean, it's a lot of.
And if you stretch it right, you can get a lot of bone.
Hopefully not. It means your Achilles is ruptured.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. I mean, it's a lot of pressure on the Achilles tendon. Just the way she uses her body weight, though, that's very good. Muscle, all technique, and that's a very dangerous thing.
Xenowire, I'm not attacking anybody who liked the Scorpion Deathlock. It just never worked for me. I just because it was like I want to be like Ric Flair. Well, you're not doing a very good job, are you? but the fact that we got a whole bunch of diving elbows into the anchor was just gross.
Two and then pull ahead.
Yeah.
And that was a moment. You know, we generally don't see anybody pull up the head when they're going for a pin. Mostly because if you want to win, you have to pin them. So you don't generally pull unless you're feeling incredibly confident, which occasionally can lead to your doom. But I'll be damned if Kairi didn't pull that exact stunt tonight and it paid off. She
better not try to pull that stunt on Saturday.
No. Hopefully not.
God, I hope not. Oh, boy. But also that brings up a good point, double checking PW Gregory, the point, holding it and then,
I like that.
I would have done that thing from Tom and Jerry, where you run and there's a smoke version of yourself like Percy would have been like, and then it would have dissipated.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Nice.
No, thank you. Let's kind of talking about the Adam Cole Ricochet vignette. It's fine. Like, I'm looking forward to the match. We'll talk about it a little bit more later. But the
vignette, though.
The in-ring segment of Velveteen Dream versus EC3. Velveteen Dream is legitimately changing professional wrestling as we know it. And sports entertainment as we know it. Whether you can connect those or look at those separately. Because he has changed the energy in a room. Because the energy used to be, these guys are going to beat each other up. But now it's like, these guys are going to kiss. I don't know, they're going to roll around on the ground. They're going to do... Because the reactions that people get whenever anybody comes face-to-face with Velveteen Dream isn't like... Oh, he's going to punch him. It's a completely different energy. And it's fascinating. Because when EC3, when he took off his coat, everybody went, dear me, is it getting...
Oh, my. Oh, goodness.
Oh my goodness, is it getting warm in here? What's about to happen? And this is the mindset that damn Velveteen Dream has put me in, and EC3 being just kind of a goof to mess with him. I could have totally thought he'd go up and kiss him on the cheek and then be like, come on, let's fight. Like, just as like a stupid whatever, because he's EC3. Whatever.
Yeah. Mind games.
Exactly. But he's changed. It's all different. The numbers, Mason. It's all different. It's all changing. Was that just me? Of getting that feeling of the entire energy of the crowd changing when it's something to do with Velveteen Dream live.
No, I get behind you. I don't know if I necessarily sort of get behind EC3 playing into the mind games of Velveteen Dream. He just doesn't seem to go that way. He seems very closeted, if anything. You know, he's definitely in denial.
No,
deep denial. He never pushed that boundary too far for fear that he would end up learning something about himself that he just did not want to know.
I think he just it's one of those things of like, I'm not gonna go there, so let's have fun. Xenoar, hashtag do the sex. PW Gregory said, I felt it too, Mark.
I always do.
I mean, it's also...
Shouting out the guy in the crowd that was fanning himself as Dream was walking by.
It's also that moment when EC3 just rubs both of his nipples.
Yeah, you with know? The three...
Three nipple to nipple. Bink, like he's... Bink. Yeah.
And they shoot back into a... They shoot right back into
like place. Pencil erasers.
Exactly. Bill's not even here, anyway. Do me a favor. A little bit of homework. Find a wrestling podcast that goes to the level that we do.
Yeah, I don't.
Good
I don't
luck.
Think.
Good luck finding it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some more hogs. What an amazing segment. This is great. It's unfortunate that EC3 has Dream's attention, but not for us because we get to watch an amazing match on Saturday.
Anytime Dream is in a match with somebody who is equally as absurd a human as he is, the matches steal the show, and I'm looking forward to this one. This should be a lot of fun.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think this has an opportunity for me at least to possibly supersede him and Alistair, because with Alistair, it was too... different styles that worked really well together when it came to promos, when it came to athleticism, that came together and worked really well. With EC3 and Dream, there's a lot more in common. So I think that the chance to, for lack of a better word, play will, I think the moments might be a little bit more ridiculous in the good way. Not necessarily like laugh out loud moments, but just like, what are they doing? in the most exciting way possible. And I didn't think that Ricochet and Dream's styles melded as much as they could have. So I think if anything, this will tie, if not supersede, the Aleister Black match for me.
It'll be able to touch the Aleister Black match.
Okay.
Personally, I can't imagine that because the stakes were so very high for Velveteen Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Even Aleister Black, for that matter. But I do expect this to be as good or better than the Ricochet match, though that was very good. I imagine that EC3 is maybe a better matched opponent for Dream than Ricochet is.
We actually did get Sharkosaur. Send us these links on Twitter. I want to check them out, and maybe we can do some sort of a collaboration with these folks. But DangMQ says maybe his nipples itch, and that's his way of scratching them.
I have never had an itchy nipple. I've had many other things itch. Never my nipple.
Let's never speak of this again.
Okay.
How did EC3 become the face? We'll talk about that later. Oh, that's right. EC3 turned face in that Kona Reeves vignette.
Yes.
If you want to call it that. Vignette. No, I don't know. All right, now the folks in chat were asking us about this. We got a new scene from the Who Done It.
Yeah,
which I feel that they rolled on a lot later. Like this was like, oh, we put the one out. who else wants to be in one of these? And it was like Shayna Baszler walking by and a bunch of the women talking together. Like Candice was in there. Cassius Ohno, Ricochet, Undisputed Era, Heavy Machinery, Kairi Sane. Like a whole bunch of people where it's just like, I would love to see why Kairi Sane would want to beat up Aleister Black. Right. Like all of these are like, right. Cool, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Can we put, do like an APA thing where, or an Acolytes Protection Agency thing where all of a sudden Heavy Machinery is just like dark now and they're working with Aleister as their enforcers. Same attitude, but they're just like, yeah, the devil, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, the devil. Holy smokes. That's
oh, scratch, yeah. You know, that type of shit.
Oh, my
That type of stuff. Seek out Heavy Machinery's footage on WWE's YouTube. I would love to. Gonna look at that. We gotta look at the... and we got to see Kathy Kelly doing the reporting.
Yes.
Whoever she is.
It's gotta... Who do you think it is? Truly.
No. Like, the joke was Kathy Kelly, whoever that is.
Oh.
Not who do I think attacked Aleister Black.
Who do you think attacked Aleister Black?
Candice LeRae.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Either Johnny or Candice.
It has to be Johnny. He's...
Which is why I think it's Candice.
But how would the crowd react if it ended up turning out to be Johnny Gargano?
Almost as confused as that one time when Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream almost made out. Almost like that confused.
Yeah. But they wanted that. As opposed to Gargano attacking Aleister Black, who I don't think anybody wants. Yes. You have a look on your face.
You know, Ira brings up a very important point.
Yes.
Aleister Black was attacked last week. You weren't on the show last week. And you're trying to get me to say who I think, but you're not saying who you think.
I said it was Johnny Gargano.
Quiet, all of you. I'm not going to be throwing out... Fine, take another Snickers. But don't just be quiet during the show. Thank you. No! Share it, at least. Anyway. What are we doing? So we got a little thing showing that Bianca Belair is continuing to train with a little side thing of, I mean, her trainers may not be liking her attitude, but she's almost ready to return.
What did she injure? I forget.
They said that she got injured for her honeymoon.
So she fell on something.
Well, no.
Repeatedly.
No. She went on her... All right, we're peeling the curtain back. She went on her honeymoon. All right, curtain's coming back. She got injured.
Well, Montez is there. No,
well, the Street Profits were missing for a couple of weeks, too, and they just didn't say anything. But Bianca was a little bit more upfront because she was going to be in that Fatal 4-Way number one contendership match, and they had to give a reason for her not to be in it.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
just the honeymoon. Jeez, we stopped freaking out.
I didn't know what it was. Like, that's the thing, is they were running her through a bunch of drills, none of which were an indication of me to what was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of doing some stretches, and then she was doing grape squishers, and then she was running the ropes. I'm like, what did you hurt? None of these tell me what she is rehabbing. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure it out based on what she's doing. Maybe it was her hamstring. I don't know.
Montez was out with dental surgery before, which was legit. Then they did the honeymoon, so they just kept him off. And Sharkazor brings up a good point. You always get home by 3 p.m. to watch Pardon My Zinger on Comedy Central, so you have an alibi.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. You, the hobo, with your home and cable subscription.
I'm Robert Baines now.
You, Robert Baines, and your meat packing compound.
Hey now!
No,
you
need
Velveteen Dream out of this!
Anyway, not... Okay, alright everybody in chat, chill. We're not... No. I respect her too much.
What happened?
They're making honeymoon injury jokes. And one with a phrase that I've never heard before.
Oh, like, I'm very curious.
I'll just say this. The groin is a part of every human's body, yep. So there is no such thing as a lady groin. Just a groin. Still just a groin. That's not a joke!
No, that's a fact! That is... That's grade school science right there.
Everybody has a groin.
Everybody got
no
a groin.
No such thing as a lady groin.
All God's children's got groins. It's a fact.
Man, like there are a lot of times when we do the shows just the two of us, Hobo, and I'm like, yeah, we were talking about wrestling and breaking down character and this and that. No, we're back to our same old crap.
It's a go home show.
Yeah, it's a go home show. We have not a lot to talk about. Hey, and I didn't watch 205, but hey, next week we're getting Pete Dunne and Zach Gibson, which could go very long. I'm really excited
I
for the
UFC. I honestly haven't seen Gibson in action, so I don't know what
did
to
you
expect.
Watch the first year?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot has changed since then.
Oh.
But...
Wait, was he in first year?
I think he was.
I don't think he was.
I haven't watched the second one either.
Damn it, me either.
But either way...
We're busy being wrestling professionals.
Yeah. I mean, you're a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
You're wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm producing a podcast for a wrestler. That's not... I don't take injuries. Just medication. Let's talk about
Brian. Get them gimmicks, brother.
Let's talk about Roderick Strong versus Tyler Bate. This match was wild. Yeah. I thoroughly loved this match. Yeah. Tyler Bate escaping the end of heartache at the end terrified me.
Yeah, he's like a cat. All of a sudden, he's on his feet. Like he's very strong, and then. To boot, he's incredibly agile, but he only showcases his agility in sort of random spots mm-hmm. where you just aren't expecting it, and all of a sudden he's like, holy crap, he's agile. Yeah. I just don't... He's so hard to wrestle for that fact, because you do not know exactly how things are going to go. If you have him, he can turn it around in a second. Mm-hmm. He's dangerous.
Both are dangerous.
Yeah.
These two, it was... You know, taking our guest from a couple weeks ago, Brandon Taylor's, you know, injuries and loss from Mustache Mountain into account. I'm a friend of mine for many years, but despite that, you know, I have a little bit of interest in that, and we have a little bit of interest in that in you know, wronging the person that wronged your friends.
Fair enough.
But when it Kyle O'Reilly, man, he just needs to get taken down a peg. He's no one man should have all that air guitar. That's all I'm saying. Would you have wanted to see different matchups with these? Like, would you want to see Seven and Strong and see how Strong can pull off backbreakers, hitting a couple of dingers?
I mean, not necessarily. We could have easily have done Kyle O'Reilly and Trent Seven, and Trent, after the match against Stateline, said that he was 100% and that no one should talk about his knee ever again, and yet he did not wrestle in a singles match. It was his partner who wrestled in a singles match. So to me, it's kind of like, well, you're talking up a big game about how you're 100%, and yet you're not putting yourself out there in a singles the same way your partner
is. That's psychological to me.
Well, to me, it's... just absolutely proving the fact that his knee is not 100%. As much as he says it's 100%, he's not 100%.
Or at least
he's still the weaker link.
But at least this week, or at least this tonight, that may be the case. It could be a feign. You know, we don't know until Saturday if it turns into something where if he lets them gain the upper hand.
If he wanted to prove that it wasn't an issue, he should have had a singles match.
With how squirmy the Undisputed Era is, I think leaving that variable up to the title match works in Mustache Mountain's favor. Because if you're targeting a perfectly healthy knee, then you're wasting your time.
Not necessarily.
You're wasting some time.
Right.
And it could be any... If they try to keep Bate out, that keeps Bate fresh, and he can come in and break up or break in and whatever. Like I think it's a smarter play to wait until TakeOver to know for sure whether or not he's 100%.
I suppose.
Because if they try to, like, remove the brace and it just, that's Undisputed Era wasting their time. Out tricking the tricksters.
I agree with you. If I were to game plan, I'd say you go after Seven's knee early, but then once bait comes in, you cut off bait and you absolutely put as much damage as you can on him and let Seven deal with his knee injury, because you know as soon as he comes in, he's not 100%. So you can go after him once everything's kind of happened and he's sort of running a little bit more tired, that's when he makes a mistake, and you go right back to that knee. And if Bate is taking the brunt of the punishment throughout the match, then Seven's going to be too weak to actually put up a decent fight.
So that, I think Seven should start the match then, if that's the case.
I would say Bate start the match.
Okay.
Because if Seven starts it, it would put it right in Undisputed Era's wheelhouse. I think Bate needs to start the match. And then maybe something happens with Seven where he gets isolated and they put the damage on him. But Bate's 100%. I mean, he's really 100%.
Because I could also see, I can see Seven going for the tag, ripping him from the tag, and then running him into the stairs knee first. Yeah. And then he can't make the tag and it's Bate all alone. And then we come up to Seven back up and ready to take the tag, and it's fired up.
Right.
There's a lot of things that I can see going for this match.
The way he sets up his seven-star lariat, all you need is standing position, because he does it from a ripcord.
Yeah, true.
That's it. So he doesn't need to be incredibly agile. He just has to get that waist lock, push out, and hit it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm super excited for NXT TakeOver. Tyler Bate gets the win. One of my favorite calls of this match was he's not saving anything for Saturday.
No, that dive to the outside looked very dangerous.
Not just the dive, but a lot of the strikes were just hard and heavy and gross.
Yeah.
And really, ugh. Really, to put it frankly.
You get the distinct impression that this is a very personal matchup. These two teams do not like each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw that in the ring with Brandon Taylor.
Yeah.
They were pissed. They took out a lot of aggression on State Line.
I bet, yeah.
I mean, just kicking his opponent completely off the apron time and time again without any regard.
Yeah.
Well, they're pretty mad.
We're excited for NXT TakeOver. Let's really quick talk about our calls for the show. Let's talk about a Velveteen Dream EC3. Who you got?
I gotta say it's EC3. Yeah.
I think EC3 probably needs the... I don't even say probably. I don't care. I would like it.
Whatever happens, happens.
I would like it if Velveteen Dream won, because this would be three takeovers with no win if he loses this one. Not including the multi-man ladder match. But in terms of singles, this would be three singles that he hasn't won, and I think he could use a win.
Yeah.
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 Let's talk about the NXT Tag Team title match. Oh, because we were just talking about it anyway. Mustache Mountain, Undisputed Era. Who do you got?
I think Undisputed Era. Yeah.
You know, as much as I don't want to think about it, yeah. Unless it's because we're hearing more and more about the UK division,
right? Exactly,
and we know we're going to be hearing more soon. If it's established that the NXT Tag Team Championships can travel overseas, then I think maybe giving it to Mustache Mountain might be a great way to start that division.
Yes, yeah, but
if we're talking about business,
with the entire UK division opening up, I think there are more opportunities for Bate and Seven, both in NXT proper and NXT UK, than there are for Undisputed Era. Undisputed Era are this is their kind of only opportunity. So I think they're really going to throw everything at it, and not to mention they got Adam Cole, they got Bob Fish. They've got the numbers game really well scouted. Unless Seven and Bate bring someone else from the UK division to kind of...
Well, but Pete Dunne is also a member of British Strong Style.
Right.
So there's that extra little bit. There could be one more person.
And he will be in attendance.
Yeah, he'll be there. A lot of people are saying Undisputed. A lot of people are saying Dream. North American Championship, Ricochet versus Adam Cole.
I think Ricochet. Yeah.
I think if Undisputed Era loses, Adam Cole will too. I think if...
They lose everything?
I think so.
In one night, it'll just be Bob with his trophy?
I don't know. I don't know if there's room for him, but if they move up to the main roster from here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
Somebody brought up, there's probably going to be call-ups. We don't necessarily know who.
No, I have my
maybe Shayna.
Maybe Dream.
I was thinking Dream too. A lot of people asking why EC3 is even on NXT and not just right to the main roster. I think
they got their reasons.
Whatever.
Who are you to ask?
Yeah,
Almighty.
I think it's more likely that Cole loses this than keeps it.
Yeah.
NXT Women's match: Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I think Shayna keeps it.
They
go on to have rubber.
I'll agree. Yeah. I'll agree with that. I like what you were saying about Shayna's going to pull champion's advantage, and then the next one's going to be for
She's never been in a hole like this before. She's running scared. She's going to pull something in order to keep this, whether it be a countout, disqualification. It'll be the first time she does anything like that because she doesn't know how to cope.
And it'll come to L.A., and then the rubber match will come to L.A.
Great.
NXT title match, last man standing, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
I think Aleister Black is going to come out and disrupt the finish of this match and give us the answer to the question of who attacked him. That is how I see it going. Aleister Black will appear, and whoever attacked him in that parking lot is going to get hit in the head and just completely flattened.
Candace.
Candace!
Let us know what you want to see down below in TakeOver. We're not going to be doing a TakeOver specific show. Next week, we're going to be doing a full Brooklyn week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were thinking about doing a thing.
Oh, depending. Hold on that. We may do something similar to what we do when we're on the road. But
I'm available Sunday.
Okay, Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Saturday. Wrestling for Wrestling's on Saturday.
Why don't you tell everybody all about it?
Wrestling for Wrestling is at the Moose Lodge in Burbank, just down the street from the AfterBuzz Studios. If you keep driving down Burbank, you can wave at the AfterBuzz Studios, but you can't come in.
Loser.
Follow me on Twitter at TrueHobo and on Instagram. Nope. Oh, wait, wow.
Bane's Destroy.
Bane's Destroy. And Instagram, Bane's Destroy.
You can follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. You can go to tpublic.com/NXTeam, which I just popped in the chat.
Boom!
There's a sale going on right now. It would really help us if you supported us. If there's a shirt that you don't see on there from our old shop that you would like to see us transfer over, let us know. The full Montez may be coming soon. Who knows if I have enough time. But also make sure to follow Bill at Sundown Motel. Make sure to check out Xbox 12360. This week was a very emotional show, but a good show. Please, episode 100.
Oh, you did it!
Yeah, we did. And next week is gonna be one to remember if everything goes the way that we want it to.
Nice.
But thank you, everybody. We hope that you enjoy NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4, because we will, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
We're gonna buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.